would have a big crowd in Little Rock speaking to tonight. You believe me, but I'm not interested. Why I'm not interested? Because I learned a few things in my life which are serving me now. I'm not interested in a big crowd unless it is a crowd that is built up from a small nucleus. Because if a crowd is not built up from a small nucleus, they will be divided and they'll come together for different reasons. The Bible shows in its presentation that birds of a feather do flock together. Jesus Christ said, where the dead body is, there will the crows go, the vultures. The vultures will always go where there is a stink or where there is a smell. And if you throw corn outside in your yard, it's going to attract birds of a certain type, those that like corn. Therefore, if you take the word of God and you distribute and you begin to preach a certain type of word, tonight if we were preaching prosperity, we could not keep the meeting in this place, because a lot of people want prosperity. If we were preaching an escape from reality, like the wilderness message, we'd have more people yet, because many people are interested in getting off to a place where they believe they don't have to work, and you know, things will be just provided. So you have all different kinds of things that a person could preach to bring a certain type of people. When you are preaching truth, you must be determined that you don't want anybody else to get it beside those who are genuine. Because when God was calling me, he sent me out, he said, go take 1,000 pounds of food to the household. And I was taking this food to the household of God. And the food was telling me who is the household from who is not. So God segregates his people by the food that he throws out to give them. You better believe it. Tonight you go down to the theater. If a certain type of picture is showing, you see that theater crammed with certain type of people who want to see that type of picture. If there is a type of show going on, you see certain people go because they want to see that type of show. So when the word of God is being given forth, you'll find people who want that word that is given. That type of people will be present. And the other type of people will just be absent.
Hallelujah.
So, praise God. Tonight's message would be 738 E11 and let us go into the word pertaining to perfection. We want to see the road to perfection tonight. Let's look into it, and may the grace of God help us here. If you understand what perfection is and how you go into perfection, it will be a long way to help in Little Rock. Yeah. You see, it doesn't need more than one person to understand a thing, then they'll make other people understand. You see? Now, you take your mind off those who are not here. Because nobody is not here who should be here. And everybody who should be here is here. Even these kids. So let's just, first of all, let's look into the possibility of perfection. Is perfection possible? Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Somebody read for me. Last verse. I think it's verse 48. Check it out for me.
Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Now, to my mind, that's a perfection without any doubt. It's saying that we should be just like God. Without any doubt, Jesus Christ left no doubt. He did not say, be ye perfect as I am perfect, because at the moment he was standing there in flesh and blood. Amen. And he was pointing you beyond flesh and blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He was pointing you beyond, and he was saying, be perfect as my Father, the Spirit, is perfect. Thus we find that it is possible to be perfect. Now, it is possible to operate perfectly without yourself being perfect. In other words, we have no excuse for sin. None of us should ever sin. We should not sin because Jesus Christ died to take away our sins. Now, if I ask you, how many of your sins did Jesus take? You're going to tell me all, because that's what the scripture says. Jesus take all our sins, and we should not have any left. That's the exact amount that we should have left, none. So, we find that it is possible to live without sin. And if you live without aught against your brethren, if your heart is pure before God, you do not live in sin. It's not possible. You don't sin. You don't sin in your thoughts without your knowing. You can't go to bed and sleep and dream and sin. You don't do that. You have to sin consciously. Therefore, the scripture said, I'm quoting from 1 John chapter 3, said, he whatsoever that is born of God sinneth not. Amen. And that which is born of God overcometh the world. Amen. So, whatever is in you that is born of God, if it's just a little piece of you that is born of God, that thing is going to overcome everything in you, and it's going to overcome the world outside there.
Hallelujah.
That's what God's talking about. Therefore, we must know that the sinless perfection is the thing Jesus Christ preached, and is the thing we must believe in. Now, not only just not to commit sin is what God is after. God wants to do away with sin entirely. God wants to destroy the power of sin. And God wants to destroy evil entirely, so that there is no more evil. Amen. Some people say evil is the negative and good is the positive. That's not true. Because the positive can't work without the negative. And we can do good without evil. This is why God is going to prove it by bounding Satan, taking away the devil and all his works, and put them in the pit for 1,000 years, and leave mankind without sin and without devil. Amen. So you see that we are negative to God. God is positive good. We are negative good. The children of the devil are negative evil, and Satan is positive evil. So you have two poles. That's why the devil cannot face God. Because God is positive and he's a positive. And God will just So that's why God give him a place named hell where he can be. Now, let's go into the question of perfection. Perfection can be described as a walk. It's a walk of perfection. First of all, we begin to operate perfect. Why? Because the Spirit is perfect. And when you are born of the Spirit, you are born of perfection. First of all, we were born of Adam, the flesh. We were born of imperfection. Then we were born again, and we were born of perfection, of the Spirit. When the Spirit therefore comes into your spirit, the Spirit makes your spirit perfect. So that your spirit has a perfect operation because it is joined to God, to the Holy Ghost. Let me draw it on the board for you. Again, I draw you the tabernacle. Because I'm going to show you the walk to perfection. And in the tabernacle, we have the human tabernacle. All right? I'm going to divide the tabernacle in three parts for the benefit of the drawing. You know it is divided in three parts, but not like this. Now, we have here the Holy of Holies. And this is man's spirit. We have the holy place. And this is man's soul. We have the outer court. And this is man's body. Now, man must walk from a creature of the flesh into becoming a creature of the Spirit. Now, when you get the Holy Ghost in your spirit, then you get perfection. In your spirit. Therefore, you have become perfect only in one part of your being, and that is in your spirit. Sorry. You understand? You have become perfect in your spirit when you receive the Holy Ghost. Babe, look here. You'll find some scriptures on the perfect. Yes, you become perfect in your spirit when you receive the Holy Ghost. So, actually, you are saved already in the spirit. So, you are saved in the spirit. In your soul nature, you are being saved, are being perfected, and in your body, you will be.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Go right ahead, sister.
When you're saved in your spirit, is that why Paul said concerning the man in the church which had turned himself over, you know, to living with his mother, and Paul said turn him over to the devil, that the flesh might be destroyed, and
his soul be saved. You see, actually,
then that shows that his spirit was saved.
It's put it better. His soul was saved, right? But his body wanted to damn his soul, and therefore, to save the soul, sometimes God had to cut off the body.
That's what Paul was telling him.
Yes, that's what Paul was talking about. You see, Paul knew the workings of God.
So
thing that she said, that is what she said. She said that showed that his spirit was all right, but his soul, body and soul were, his body was pulling his soul out of the way.
Yes, but I corrected it because she said his spirit was saved. Now, let me show you something about the spirit. Whether the man is a sinner or a Christian, his spirit goes back to God. But the spirit, when we speak of the saving of the spirit, we mean the spirit become united with its soul. You see, and this is the full salvation that the spirit brings into the human being. But the salvation of God comes down into the spirit, not to save the spirit, but to save the soul. So the man's spirit that is not filled with the Holy Ghost has not got the salvation of God in his spirit. You follow what I mean? The spirit to be saved, when we talk about the spirit being saved, when we talk about the spirit being saved, we mean the spirit of the man receiving the Holy Spirit so that he can operate inside rather than from outside. You see. So, the first act of salvation within man comes with the blood of Jesus Christ striking the soul. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ is not a spirit, but it is the life of God coming into the human being. The human being was dead. You see, God breathed upon Adam, and Adam became a living soul. So the blood of Jesus Christ is the breath of God again upon another dead Adam to bring him alive. So he comes alive and he says, I want food. I want to eat. I want to live. I want to breathe. So the moment this life principle takes charge of this man, he calls for life and God gives him the Holy Ghost. Now when the Holy Ghost comes in, the Holy Ghost quickens his spirit and gives his spirit power over his soul. Because after all, it was the soul that first invited the spirit to come in. Are you with me? You have free will choice. And not even this child can receive a spirit unless this child accepts that spirit. No spirit can take anybody unless the person accepts the spirit and takes him in. You see? So, the perfection which is in the spirit must come in the soul. Now, let me show you a scripture for that. I'm thinking of Matthew 6. And if you read from verse 10, thy kingdom come. You got it? Read it for me. Let me hear.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
In earth as it is in heaven. Now, what you are saying in effect, God, let your kingdom come in my soul, even as it has come in my spirit. That's what the Lord's Prayer means. In the spiritual sense. In the physical sense, it means let the kingdom of God come out there in the world just as it is in the heavenlies. You see. But it has to come in here first before it comes out there. And the kingdom of God is within you. Luke 17, 20, 21. So if the kingdom of God is within you, then, and you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Don't you see it, Mark? In earth, sister? In earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom of God has begun to come in earth when he starts to come in the heaven of your earth. In other words, the spirit is the part of man that is in contact with heaven. And when God speaks to you or comes to you, he comes through your spirit. Holy Bamashiach. That's why when a man prophesies, he prophesies and it sounds like him. He comes out of his spirit. But the Spirit of God, hallelujah, overshadows your spirit, and your spirit overshadows the soul, and the soul operates the body, and the body talks.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. It's a long chain. A long chain. The first link of the chain is God the Father, then God the Son, then God the Holy Ghost, then man's spirit, then man's mind, then man's will, then man's emotion, man's desire, and man's body. You see? So this is how it goes. Okay, let's look again at the board. We see, therefore, God enters man from the Holy of Holies to the outer court. But man enters into God from the body back to the soul, back to the spirit. Or from the outer court to the holy place, to the Holy of Holies. But perfection enters into man from the spirit, then the soul, and the body. But man enters into perfection from the body to the soul, to the spirit, from the outer court to the holy place, to the Holy of Holies. Okay, so in the outer court here we have the gate, and the man is a type of the bull coming through the gate, and there are seven works of grace which brings man into perfection. And these seven works must be done in each human being before the human being can be perfect. I'm just drawing these on the board. Number one, the brazen altar. Number two, the brazen laver. Number three, the candlestick. Number four, the table of showbread. Number five, the altar of incense. Altar of incense. Number six, the mercy seat. And number seven is the Ark of the Covenant. Now, each one of these represents a work of grace that is to be done in your body. Why? You are the temple of the living God. There are two works in the body, or your outer court. There are three works in your holy place, or your soul. And each of these, one of these three works is taken into the spirit. Amen. And there are two works to be done in the spirit, and then you are perfect as God intended that man should be perfect, and as Jesus Christ is perfect. Now, in this, there are three barriers against you. Three barriers working against you. And the three barriers are barriers of flesh. The first barrier is called the gate. The second barrier is called the door. And the third barrier is called the veil. Now, each of these barriers represents flesh, something of the flesh that remains. And when the last barrier of flesh is hurdled through, man will come into the continuous presence of Almighty God. Haraba shandai araba kandai. To prove this point, let us read from the 17th chapter of John, Jesus Christ praying to the Father, and he was not yet dead, but he had already walked through the barrier of life, of his flesh. Verse 4 and 5, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world. He was standing right there before them, on earth, and he was saying, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Hallelujah! And I came to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be mine, one as we are. Bless his holy name. Here we find a word not in mystery, but in plain spiritual language, Jesus Christ breaking through the veil of flesh. At last, his flesh was no longer, hallelujah, had no longer any pull on him. His life was forfeited. He had perfect peace, no longer any fleshly desires. No longer any temptation. He was already offered.
Glory to God.
He said, I am no longer in the world. And this means to me, he had broken through the third veil. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Not when he died, but before he died, he had broken through the third veil.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, Jesus. We praise your name. Now, we go back here and look at the first veil or the gate. The first veil or the gate, we see an unwilling animal brought through by force, you and I, brought through into the tabernacle to possess our land. Coming out of Egypt, entering into the wilderness. Egypt, the outside of the outer walls of the tabernacle, outside the gate, brought in by force, great force, breaking the power of Egypt and bringing us through the gate. Here we are in a wilderness. And in this wilderness, it's a place of death. We smell the death of our predecessors. We know that we're not going to be able to live our own lives anymore. We know that somehow or the other, we're going to lose the power to do our thing. And to be our own man and our own woman. To command our own thoughts and our own operations. We know that somewhere along the line we're going to have to give up self. And there is a fight. The flesh fights back, but the flesh is slain. And the flesh is slain by the power of the knife, and death enters in. But what is happening to that bull? What's happening to that ram? He is being transformed from a common ram into the priest. And then the priest will offer himself to God. That's his journey begun of entering into the Holy of Holies. Can you see that? He's going to enter into the presence of God, but the life form that he had was contrary. It could not go through. Flesh and blood cannot inherit eternal life. Therefore, this lamb, this ram, this bull had to die, and the priest had to eat a part of it. Amen. 12 months for the year, the priest keep going and coming back without going in. Going and coming back without going in. Eating the bull, eating the ram, eating at the shoulder, the right shoulder, the power, the strength of the animal, and going and coming back until one morning he goes right through.
Hallelujah.
Into the holiest of all.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And this Hallelujah. Is what God is showing us. A journey from Egypt right into our possessions. Into the inheritance. Into the inheritance. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to show you a verse there that shows that no man up to that time and to this had received the inheritance. Had not received the inheritance. Paul speaking of his predecessors. Verse 40. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Amen. They obtained a good report through faith, but they received not the promise. And what was the promise? Amen. Life and immortality. That is the promise. Hallelujah. That is the promise. Everlasting life. Jesus Christ stood in John chapter 11 at the graveside of Lazarus, and he wept because human beings did not believe him. Hallelujah, that he is the resurrection and the life. Not that they were waiting for a resurrection and a life to come upon them at the last day, but that the same Jesus that was standing there in Galilee, he is the resurrection and the life. Said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never die. Hallelujah. He said it. And he that dieth and believeth on me shall live again. You see, so the point is that the people didn't understand. If Mary and Martha had understood what he was saying, they would have said to him, okay, how do we get you? Since you are the resurrection and the life, all I need to have is you. How can I have you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was the question. He wept, for they didn't understand. They were just like little children. And so, hallelujah, we see an animal beginning to walk
a walk to perfection. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And brethren, if you want to be perfect, you've got to die to sin. You've got to be dead to sin. You've got to reach the point we are in. You have so laid your life down in God's hand that you cannot be provoked into mad temper. You have got to reach the point where you lay everything at Jesus' feet. Therefore, the first act is the act of death to sin. Let me write it here for you. Death to sin. When the bull is slain, it is death to sin. This death to sin message is divided into three definite changes. Amen. The first thing happened to the bull, he's changed from a bull to beef. Bull to beef. Amen. You know what that means? The first act of God, when you accept Jesus Christ, you are changed from death to life. From carnal life then to spiritual life. Carnal life is death. Hallelujah. From a life of sin, which the wages of sin is death, you change from the wages of sin to immortality. Amen. And so, the first change from bull to beef. The second change, the next thing the priest did, he used fire. Fire is the instrument of change. Fire changes everything, changes the consistency of a substance. It causes the atoms to speed up and it makes it assimilable to the body into which it is going to become a part. Hallelujah! Don't you see that you are going to become a part of the body of Christ? Therefore, you have to be broken down from the life that you have, which cannot exist in the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. This is what we are saying. Many people are boasting that they are in the body of Christ, but they have a contrary life. Self-life is contrary to Christ's life. How can self-life and Christ's life live together in the same body? Glory to God in the highest. Cannot be done. Cannot be done. This is the reason. Hallelujah. God, Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross. Find that scripture. And let him follow after me. And Luke says, follow after me daily. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Or take up his cross daily. Yes. Read it to me, sister. Luke 9:23. Praise God.
And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
Right. Praise his holy name. So we see here now that there is a denying of self, a debt to self message. Now let's finish with this debt to sin, because there are many people going around saying they are walking in heights and they are in Christ and they are lying and cheating and being just as wicked as those who don't know Christ. And yet they are saying they are in high positions in Christ. Now that cannot be true. For lies cannot exist in Christ. Amen. What do I mean? What am I talking about? Do you notice we started out with the sinlessness? Perfection. Let me tell you something. You go out there right now and you tell a lie. and you are in Christ, and that lie haunts you, haunts you, haunts you until you set it right. Amen. There is no way, no way. Bless God. Let's find it. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. Hallelujah. Let's find that.
Hallelujah.
1 John.
In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil.
Yeah.
Whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God. Neither is he that loveth not his brother.
Good. Let's start from verse 4. Yes.
Want me to read it?
Read it loud.
Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins.
Yes.
And in him is
no sin. So that means those who are in Christ don't have any sin.
Hallelujah.
You cannot be in Christ and have sin at the same time. Amen. Because if you try, you try it, sister. You go and sin and see what happened to you. If you are in Christ, it haunts you, it tears you, it disturbs you. You have to get it right before you have any peace.
Hallelujah.
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 Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not.
Amen.
Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him.
The word sinneth is continuous sinning. Mean nobody can continue in sin or can keep sin if you are abiding in Christ. Mm-hmm. But if you are abiding in Christ, then you get rid of all sin.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Go ahead, sister.
Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he
is righteous. As God is righteous. That's what the second he means. Good.
He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed,
God's seed,
remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Because he is born of God.
He cannot sin because he is born of God.
Hallelujah.
Now, let's go back to what we were saying. Now, death to sin. The bull becomes beef. That means God is breaking you down from your carnal life into another life. But for the moment, it is dead. It's breaking down. It's not building up. Now, number two says, by fire, change by fire. And so the bull is put on the fire, coals. And the fire begins to break down the atoms in that flesh. And begin to speed them up, and certain changes begin to occur, so that the meat or the bull or the beef becomes a steak. If you notice all the change, the name is changed. Amen. The name is changed from beef to steak. You see, you don't say you go and eat a piece of beef, but you say you eat a steak. Amen. It's because of the change that has occurred through fire. Fire makes the change. Now that this change has occurred, this you are one step nearer to being dead to sin. Amen. Completely dead to sin. You can't come back again. You're changed. And then the next change is your being changed to the priest. Now, isn't that funny?
That sounds funny, isn't it?
The priest start eating a piece of that meat. And when he eats that meat, then your change has begun into a living body. But that eating doesn't occur until he reaches in here. He eats it with the bread. Amen. The change does not occur. In other words, the priest does not eat the meat until he reaches into the holy place. Praise God. So for that change to really take place, you have to, the change up to life, from death to life. Now, we go to the next one, and this is the death to self. Self-message. And this death to self is a threefold change again. It symbolizes baptism. It symbolizes sanctification. And it symbolizes consecration. You're moving on now. And after you accept Jesus as your Savior, and you find this working in you, and this fire begin to burn up all the things that you used to love, and all the desires that you used to have, and the things you used to do in life, and the fire of God begins to burn it up, then you begin to ask for baptism. Amen. And baptism, first of all, this is the fire, the sanctification that occurs. You see, sanctification means cleaning. Consecration means putting aside. Now, many of us are not sanctified and consecrated. And this is a simple thing. This is a household word. You housewives, you have supper. And the first thing you do is you wash up the supper things or the dinner things. And when you wash those plates, sister, do you have a nice place on the floor to put them? You put them in the cupboard. Now, why didn't you put them on the floor? Why didn't you store them under the table or under the... Tell me why. Just tell me why you didn't. Why wouldn't you put them under the floor? If you put the plates on the floor, what would Mother say to you? Eh? Ah, thank you. It's the best answer I could ever get. She said, probably we'd have to wash them again. You know why? Because they are consecrated vessels in the household sense. They belong to a specific purpose. You don't want dust and dirt in them. You don't want cats and dogs licking them, because you want them for the use of the table. And so this is how God looks at your vessel. When a man becomes a Christian, there are certain things he will not do anymore. Amen. So he's a consecrated vessel, sanctified, put aside for a specific purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Is your floor all right? Amen. Oh, yes. Praise God. Amen. We can have church without many people, you see. You don't need a lot of people. You'll get the oneness of spirit. Jesus said, we are two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst. Amen. Glory. So when Mavis and I gather together in a meeting, we are sufficient to have Jesus Christ with us. Amen. As a brother. Although we have him in us, now he's with us. Amen. Although he's in us, and he's coming again. Glory. Now, isn't that funny?
Hallelujah.
You see, I'll just touch this. The reason why he's with you, and he's in you, and he's coming again, is it's because he's coming in a way that he's not in you and with you.
Glory. Hallelujah.
It must be a different way he's coming.
Yes.
Amen. So he has a threefold coming then. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, bless God Almighty. When he says he's coming, he means that he's coming in person, in a physical person. That's what he means. He's here. He doesn't have to come again as far as the Spirit is concerned.
No.
Amen. But he's got to come again as far as the flesh is concerned.
Amen.
Amen. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. We won't turn off into that message. Let's hold our course. Amen.
Brother, the sin, yes. What is that 1, 2, and 3 under death to self?
Baptism, sanctification, consecration. And so sanctification is when you wash the plates. Consecration is when you put them up into the proper place. And sanctification for you is when you are being cleaned by the fire of God's Spirit. And consecration for you is when you refuse to do certain things that you see other girls doing. Isn't that great?
Amen.
Amen. You won't curse and use your tongue and your mouth to do some of the things you see other kids do, don't you? Right? Quite. So you see, your mouth is sanctified. Because you're a Christian, you can't do certain things.
Amen.
And this is where consecration comes in. You are set apart for God's business. Amen. There are some deals that we could put through. Could make us some money. Some big deals. But you can't do it because you're a Christian.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God in the highest.
Glory.
And so, baptism in itself is a threefold thing. There are three baptisms. Your first baptism, who baptized you?
Right.
A man. Good. A minister, right? Your second, but what he used to baptize you?
Water.
Water. Your second baptism, you baptized in what?
In the Spirit.
In the Spirit. Who did it? Jesus was the baptizer. Your third baptism, the Spirit baptizes you into Christ, into the body of Christ. So you see, many of these people were running up and down saying they are in the body of Christ. They are just outside, nowhere. For you cannot be in the outer court and at the same time be in the body of Christ.
Brother DeSilva,
hallelujah,
that you just now gave us,
how
that everybody will not be in the body of Christ.
No. No.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, the stone cut out of the mountain without hands smote the image, break the image in pieces, and then the stone began to grow.
Glory.
Until it filled the whole earth.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to
God. Praise God.
Glory to God.
You see, what's happening right here is that God is preparing people, just like you buy the meat, you get the meat here, you get the cow first, you kill the meat cow, you turn him into raw meat, but it wasn't satisfactory for your stomach, so you burn the meat with fire, and then you eat the meat, and this is in here. The meat enters your body. Amen. Amen. And so the people, the Christians, are being prepared for the body of Christ.
Hallelujah.
Many of them are marching around. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said that there are people that do err in their hearts and they have not known my ways.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I swear in my wrath they should not enter into my rest. That's the Holy Ghost rest. Glory to God, for he is going to lead you into the promised land. Never entered. Walking around in the wilderness of self, in the wilderness of sin. That's the name of it. The wilderness of Sinai was called the wilderness of sin. And they walked around in sin and self, never finding rest. Glory to God in the highest. I tell you, Kura Meshandai, Kura Bashiro, Kura Mashandai. Hallelujah. It is the Holy Ghost that baptizes men into the body of Christ. How does he do it? And when does he do it? Bless his holy name. Hallelujah! God said, Hebrews 4, that because of unbelief, they entered not. Amen? Disobedience. If you obey the Holy Ghost that you have inside of you, you will enter into the land. You are not supposed to obey me. You are supposed to obey the Holy Ghost in you, because in these last days, God speaketh by his Son, and the Son of God is in you as well as in me. And the Son of God in me is not going to agree with the Son of God, is not going to disagree with the Son of God in you.
Amen.
It's impossible. And if I come and say, thus saith the Lord to you, the Son of God in you will say, amen, amen.
Glory,
glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, Shamahandai.
Kumbarabashundaya.
Yes, sir. The Holy Ghost in me quickens the Holy Ghost in you, and there is a dancing between you and I, like when Mary and Elizabeth met, and the babies begin to dance in their womb.
Amen.
Kurabamashandai. Thank you, Jesus. There is no way out of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For every year that there is a false, there is a truth. Jesus Christ will never leave you without giving you a chance of the truth. And though they may hide their heads, God said that with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to these people. I'm quoting from Isaiah chapter 28 verse 11. He said, I'll speak to these people. Verse 12 says, yet they will not hear. Kurumashandai. Yes. He said, but though they won't hear, it will be upon them, line upon line, and precept upon precept, and line upon line, and precept upon precept. Hear a little. There a little. Hear a little. There a little. Going back to verse 9, he said, there's filth and vomit everywhere. Men are disgorging themselves upon the church and feeding the church with rotten food from their own bellies. That's the picture God gives. Of a backslidden church. He said, at the end of the indignation, a king of fierce countenance shall arise. At the end of the indignation. That means the time we are in. The end of time. Amen. The end of time. This fierce king will arise. And he said, because they would not obey the truth, God gave them over. I'm quoting from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Amen. He said, because they will not hear the truth, he said, God will give them over to believe a lie, that they may be damned who believe not the truth. Amen. So you can understand what's happening in our time. Amen. We're about to see the revelation of the Antichrist. That's what we're about to see. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go on. We are traveling through into perfection. Seven works, sister, have got to be done in you before you break forth into the image of Jesus Christ. I don't care who you are. I don't care whether you're alive or dead. The seven works got to be done in you. Hallelujah. Miguro Shindai. No perfection. No perfection. By any man says, I am going to work perfection in you. No, nothing of the kind. God's Bible never said that. God's Bible never said that. The Word of God, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, says God has appointed apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the what? Perfecting. For the perfecting of the church. Meaning to say that the word of life which comes from us is going to quicken you into perfection. Amen. But I am not going to make you perfect. No. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I am going to give forth the word. Amen. And about Ashendai, the word is going to do the work. And then God says, then you and I, then you and I will come forth into one man. Both the ministry and the minister to. Kuramashandai. Hallelujah. Turushu Kuramashandai. Hallelujah. The Babylonish preaching which brings the priest of Baal to be the great masculine, giving forth a seed to bring forth in the earth, can only bring forth a seed after its own kind. Amen. Amen. And if I am on my way to perfection and I am not yet perfected and I give forth a seed, hallelujah, whether it be a seed in the spiritual sense or a seed in the natural sense, that seed can be nothing more than what I am. God Almighty put his law. He says that it must bring forth after its own kind. This is what the church has been doing for many years. Ministers have been bringing forth after their own kind, and their kind wasn't good. Hallelujah! Bless his holy name. Quote another scripture as they come to me. It says, men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degrees are lies. You ought to find that from a baby. Check the 15th Psalm. Men of low degree is nothing but vanity. When a man say, oh, I'm no good, I'm poor, it's vanity. He is believing that he should be great. You know? And when a man says, I've got it, and God has given me the power here to bring forth immortality in you, he is a lie. That's what the Bible says. He is a lie. It is not any mighty person. Men of high degree is a lie. That's what the scripture said. They're fooling you. They're deceiving you. They're just human beings like everybody else. Amen. But with Christ, I can do all things. Amen. And so it is not I, but the Christ that liveth in me. Who? Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. But I believe in the Christ that liveth in you. Because I believe in the Christ that liveth in me. And I believe that the Christ that liveth in you is going to bring you unto perfection, even as the Christ that liveth in me. Therefore, when God gives me a word to bring to your conscious mind, and I bring that word to your conscious mind, the Christ that is in you says, yes, yes, and the word gets life in you. I activate the word of life within you. But bless God Almighty, if there's nothing in you, I couldn't do one thing for you. It's the word of Christ that is in you. It's because the perfection of God is in your spirit why I can draw it out. Hallelujah! Glory to God in the highest. I go on here. I cross the veil of flesh. Here again there is a tearing and a warfare. How must I give up my life, myself? Oh, this beautiful self-life. How am I going to get loose of it? How am I going to give it up? I want my self-life. I want to do my own thing. I want to make my own impression. I want to be a great person. I want to do my thing. How am I going to give it up? God said it's worth nothing. Amen. I said, God, couldn't you even use my talent? Don't you see I am a good this and that and the other? Why don't you use my talent? God said, lay it on the altar and burn it. I don't want it. Oh, yes. Man, and all your mighty talents have to be put one side and counted as dung. That's what Paul said. Hallelujah. Yeah, you don't count yourself to be a man of high degree. She's going to read this for me, yes?
Psalm 62:9. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity.
Altogether lighter than vanity. Halabashandai. I don't believe in men. I believe in God. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe, hallelujah, that if you have Christ in you, that I can trust the Christ that is in you, that you will not do certain things. Bless Jesus Christ. If I see Christ in you, I'm going to trust him. Hallelujah. But as far as your personality is concerned, I am not going to even see it. Amen. I am not going to even see it. Amen. Bless his holy name. Two works of death. Two works of destroying that which is contrary to life. Amen. What we should do is keep a watch over that which is contrary to life, not having power to reign in our members. We should keep a watch to see that it does not rise up any root of bitterness to disturb the life that is in Jesus Christ. Halavashandai. Yes, sir. No matter how bad a man is, no matter what he does, you should be right with him at all times.
Praise.
You should never be wrong. Hallelujah. Glory to his holy name. We cross the veil. Cross the veil with much tearing and brokenheartedness sometimes. Amen. Counted as dung. People want people to count you as somebody. Amen. And you are to be counted as dung, and it isn't good. You want to be a great thing.
Shibama. Cecil, there's a scripture that comes to my heart when you said that when there's controversies, you know, in a man,
yeah,
you should have a right spirit towards him. But Paul in Corinthians says that if you see those that are causing division, mark them.
Yes.
And avoid them.
Yes. Praise God.
See?
But
now, if you just don't feel to have that, and yet down in your heart, you're not bitter towards them.
No.
Is it right to just not go out of your way?
The position is this, that if someone is causing division in the body of Christ and preaching a division gospel, you cannot participate with that person in fellowship. Therefore, the most you can do is pray for that person that he would not lose his soul, but that God would deliver him from such a terrible work. Because the worst thing you could do is to divide God's people. Yes. Because the judgment of God is upon you. Amen. The judgment of God is upon those who divide God's people. Amen. So, you must not be company with him. Don't partake with him. But just keep loving and caring for the person, praying that God might deliver them. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The moment you go through the door to your left hand, as you enter the door, there stands the candlestick. And the candlestick is the symbol of another work here. It has three seeds, a flower, and a bud. Three seeds, a bud, and a flower. That's the symbol of the candlestick. The seed is Jesus Christ. Three times is the fullness of the seed, the Christ. And the bud is the next stage from the seed, and the flower is the next stage from the bud. So God is speaking of a development within you. Now, this Holy Ghost, the candlestick is a symbol of the walking in the Spirit. A symbol of your walking and living in the Spirit. Not just a symbol of the receiving of the Spirit, which you receive from your heart in the outer court. Pardon me. But it is a symbol of your walking in what you have received. Now, why does it have three seeds? Because it is the fullness of seed. Amen. The Holy Ghost is to overshadow you and plant a seed in your womb, just as he did to Mary. And this is how you are going to get pregnant in the Spirit, in your soul nature. You wonder sometimes how your soul nature is going to change, because, you know, soul is soul. And you find it hard sometimes to even realize how you're going to say, how your soul nature is going to be changed. Pardon me. But your soul nature will be changed by the planting of a spirit in your soul. This is the oil in the vessel. Come on now, check it out. That's Matthew 25. You don't need to look it up. But this is the oil in the vessel. Already you got the oil in the lamp when you got the Holy Ghost in your spirit. Amen. But you see, you want now the oil in your lamp. Remember, God comes in from the Spirit, from the Holy of Holies. And the reason why you come in from the outer court is because you have to walk it out. Everything that God does to you, God drops, boom, all of heaven right there. Hallelujah! In the Holy Ghost. Right in your spirit, you've got the whole of heaven. But you have got to allow the light to beam through, and you've got to walk out the whole of it. So therefore, although Jesus Christ died for all men, if you don't accept that death, you are not saved. See? So you've got to accept and walk through everything. Now here we see that you're going to walk in the Spirit, and the first thing happens is that the Holy Ghost has the seed there of pregnancy to plant in your soul nature. And your soul, you know what your soul is? Anybody here know what your soul is?
Emotion.
Your mind, your emotions, your will, and your desire. That's your soul. Amen. And so the seed is to be planted in your mind so that you get the mind of Christ. In your will, so that you get the will of the Father. In your desires, so that you get desires of God instead of desires of man. Instead of wanting the things that men, human beings want, you want the things that God wants. And very often the things that God wants is contrary to the things that man wants. Amen! So that at one point, instead of wanting life, you would want death. If it came to a point where your body was going to destroy your soul, then you say, kill the body, Lord, quickly. You understand what I'm talking about? So, you walk a little further, and you get that work done in you, the Holy Ghost, obedience to the Spirit. And obedience to the Spirit begin to give you the right to walk in the Spirit, and the right to be made pregnant by the Spirit with the Christ. So this is how you become the Christ, by having the seed of Christ in your spiritual womb, which is your soul. And it begins to grow and grow and grow until it will come forth one day. So instead of you speaking through your mouth, Jesus Christ will be speaking through your mouth. Instead of you looking through your eyes, it will be Jesus Christ looking through your eyes. Instead of you breathing through your nose, it will be Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Kumandaraba Shandai. Come, we go on. We run down here. We can't give a full description of everything. We go to the 12 loaves of bread. And the 12 loaves of bread here, you're going to eat bread. That's a symbol of the communion table. Who do you think you eat at the communion table? Jesus, eh? What part of him? His head or his body? There you are.
The Lord says, eat ye all of it.
Yes, but he said something more than that. Turn to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10.
There you are. Glory to God.
And we read from the 16th verse, the cup of blessing which we bless, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Verse 17, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. Hallelujah. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Don't you see that when I eat the communion bread, it's you I'm eating?
Hallelujah.
It's the body of Christ. The living body of Christ walking and talking on earth. And when I take the bread, I'm in effect saying, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh.
Lord,
hallelujah!
God, Lord,
so when I take the bread and I sin against you, I sin against the body of Christ. So these 12 loaves doesn't just mean Jesus. It's a whole company of Israel, sons of God, his body. Hallelujah. And when I go further on, I see that the 12 pieces of bread, 12 loaves of bread, which is a symbol of energy and life, bringing me to 12 life, 12 lights, 12 natures of life, energy, life, the living bread, the manna, right down to Revelation, they become 12 lights, energy, life shining forth. So you can see that the bread I eat will come out of me as energy.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God, and it will light the world. Amen. This is just a basic teaching. So I'm giving you keys that you can go and open the scripture and understand it and get the tape and redo it over in your heart until you know what God is saying to you. Hallelujah! Bless his holy name. Now. We have gone 4 steps into perfection. Amen. There is something else about that eating. God said down in Leviticus chapter 11 that if you eat unclean creatures, you will be, if you eat those that don't chew the cud and have a cloven hoof, that means they don't talk the right talk, the right message, and they don't walk in the truth. Amen. They don't live right. Amen. And they don't preach right. If you feed upon that, it's unclean unto you. God said you will be unclean if you even touch their carcass. Amen. Leviticus 11, verse 1, 2, 3, going down. And it goes right down until it tells you about the fish in the sea. It tells you about the spiritual ones that fly above the waters. You just can't get everything tonight.
No.
You read the pattern,
that's why I want,
and you get a little of this out of it. Have you not read that book yet?
No, not yet.
No, well, all right. Let's see to it that everybody gets a copy. And get a copy for all the brethren in your group. And you read it, and then you discuss it. And then you begin to divide it. Preach the word. Don't be ashamed to preach what you get when you read the book. And then you divide it among the brethren. And you are going to get more than what's in that book. Because when God sent me out, he said he was giving me raw food.
Glory,
and I was carrying raw food to the brethren, and they were going to dissect it and cook it and eat it, and it become flesh in them.
Glory,
bless God Almighty. So you just watch these keys. Yes, you, because it's it carry you through so many scriptures that you just have to go and go and go and go and go, and you'll see more than ever I saw it. Amen. Because I'm just doing my duty to you to break the bread and give you to break. Kumandasaya. So then you see the unclean animals are the preachers that preach a word that is not right. And God said there are some that, like the rabbit, they chew the cud, but they have claws. Their walk is wrong. And he said there are some whose don't chew the cud, but they have the cloven hoof, like the hog. You ever see a hog stepping along? It's a dainty walk. Just like a lady. Yeah. God said they are unclean unto you. See? So the wrong spirits can manifest like angels of light, and they can do great miracles, and they can do wonderful things. And they can win the hearts of the people. Ha 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 ha. But bless God Almighty. He said if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. But they won't be able to deceive the elect. Bless God Almighty. Glory to God. Makes me glad. Yes, sir. Praise his holy name. So we go on. Now, watch what has happened to you. You have been born again. You are free from sin. You are no longer sinners, no longer dirty. You're just clean and sweet, as sweet as you could be. You are baptized. You are walking in holiness. You are part of the body of Christ. You are eating, feeding upon the bread from heaven coming from the body of Christ. Because the king's table here is made of gold all around. Hallelujah, but it's wood inside. Amen. It's wood inside, but you don't see the wood. It's just gold that you see, and you're eating and feasting from the table with a double crown and a man's hand underneath it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. And so, bless his holy name, you are eating from God's holy table, and there now you come to a fifth work. You come to a fifth work. Amen. And this work is a work of the ministry. Five is the number of the ministry. And this is the fifth piece of furniture in the tabernacle. And this is a mandatory work. You dare not cross the threshold of that place unless you have done that right. Everyone who has died in the tabernacle died at this altar. Both in the temple and in the tabernacle, at the golden altar, an altar with horns on it. Hallelujah. Made out of gold and wood. And what's the meaning of it? That altar is the altar of incense. And that's where Abihu and Nabal dropped dead. That's where they were struck where the fire from the altar jumped in your faces and slew them, because they brought strange fires before God. They survived the whole of here. They did everything. They light the candlestick. They ate the bread, but they were killed at this point. You know why? If they passed that point, they would go into the Holy of Holies, and there was a watchman, an angel with a flaming sword there, and they couldn't enter. Amen. Are you hearing me? I said there was an angel with a flaming sword turning four ways at that altar, and they couldn't enter. And that's from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. You see, the last verse anyhow. Now, what am I talking about? I am saying, no, it's not 24, it's 28. Sorry. Verse 28. I'm saying that at this point, something is very important here. This altar of incense has to burn and fill the whole Holy of Holies with smoke before the high priest enters in once a year. If the sacrifice and the offering is not perfect here, he dare not enter. Then he seizes the altar by the two horns, by the two staves, and lifts it bodily into the Holy of Holies and set it down before the Ark of the Covenant and step back, and that smoke has to fill that whole place before he can enter. And then when he enters in fear and trembling, he begins to offer his sacrifice before the altar. But that altar must be covered up before he offers it with smoke from this altar. What are we talking about? Brethren, we are talking about man's goodness being offered to God as a sacrifice. Yes, sir. When you came on here, you offered God something, right? A sacrifice out here. But what did he say you give him? Present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable. That was no good. Between us, you didn't want it. It was no good. They took out the dung and the filth and everything and the skin, and they burnt it outside the camp. It wasn't even good enough to burn inside. And then the flesh, they burnt it with fire here. It wasn't good. And you gave it to God, and God took it away from you. Amen. And God began to change you. And as you're going through your change, you went through four changes, four basic changes. And you come to the fifth change, and this fifth change is saying, God saying, give me thine heart. Give me all that I have given you. Turn it back to me. Lay down all your goodness before God and let him use it. This is where our ministers are falling down at the golden altar, sister. This is where all our preachers are dropping dead. Why? Because they are taking their gifts of the Spirit, using it to their own profit, becoming rich with the gifts of the Spirit, rather than letting God use them. Hallelujah. If they did let God use them, God would send them to places to look at few people like you are.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. They wouldn't say, before I come, guarantee me $175 a day. They wouldn't say, before I come, you must have a big hall and have so many people. They would come where God say go. They would be under the guidance and the leadership of God, rather than under the guidance and the leadership of their boards and their money makers. They would spend what God give them for God's people, for God's little people. They would recognize that the two and the three and the four are as important, if God wants you there, as the big crowds. Bless his holy, holy, holy name. Hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Koramama Shanda. Now, this is what we see here. We see a person receiving of God First of all, you gave away your badness in the outer court. Then you come into the holy place and you receive from the golden candlestick. And you receive from the altar, the showbread. And God begin to pour new thoughts into your mind. The mind of Christ comes over you like a mitre sitting on your head.
Hallelujah.
Did you hear that one? The mitre sitting on your head. That is the mind of Christ capping you over. Halabashendai. Edabarabashendai. Hallelujah. We say, God began to endue you with new thoughts, new ideas, new emotions, a new will to serve God. Hallelujah. New desires. Then you begin to realize that you are something for God.
Hallelujah.
God said that even as I said to Abraham, offer up Isaac this day as a sacrifice.
Hallelujah.
Slay him. Hallelujah. On the mountain. I am saying to you, my son and my daughter,
hallelujah,
offer you up all the goodness that I have given you.
Hallelujah.
And you're laid down before God and you're willing to be a housewife. No great preacher. Not rushing up and down and bringing the word to this, that, and the other. But you are willing to lay it down and just be a housewife and do what God wants you to do right where He wants you. Hallelujah! Kuru Mashaya. Sometimes you want to use the mighty gifts. You like to run out and heal the sick. What good would it be? How much would you get for every sick that you get healed? Don't you see that God desires obedience more than sacrifice and offering? Oh, hallelujah. This is the golden altar. The golden altar. Kula pasha karamayano. When you have thus offered your soul nature to God, then you shall begin to break through the veil. Hallelujah. Midori Ashakamayandai. Kuradabashandai. Even by faith it is offered. Even by faith, sister. Even by faith, sister, it is offered to God. Your soul nature. Let's just look into it a little bit. Your children. Your husband, your home life, your way of living, all that, count it done, that you may gain Christ. Come on. Don't you see when, if you can bring a carnal people to that point in carnality, you can get them to sell out their goods and to give their bodies to be burned. Some rush off to the army and get killed. Some give up their lives on different quests because you brought the carnal people to the...